Welcome to episode 171 of The Numbers Game. I'm Jace. I'm here with Nick and Marty. How you going, fellas?
Going well, Jace. You know me, saving people money, you know, just helping people with the dream, but feeling good. Yeah, just, I don't know. I like autumn. Leaves are falling. Nick found one in my hair the other day when I came to work. I didn't know how that happened. I think I park under a tree. I think that was the... But thank you, Nick. Nick's always looking after me with things like that. You know, when you get older, you just forget that leaves fall in your hair and sometimes your collar's up. He just looks after his old mate. How you going, pal?
I'm going good. I'm going good. Yeah, that was quite funny, actually. I forgot about that. I was like, I think I said to you, is that what happens when you get old out the Yarra Valley? You start to grow leaves instead of grey hairs. But no, I'm good. I'm good. Also, don't mind autumn, depending when people are listening to this, but daylight savings finished, which I think it had to. It goes on too long. I think it should finish late Feb. Then you get into March and next thing you know, it's 7:30 before it's light. It's just no good. So it's good to be up in the morning and it's light and you can actually see things. So yeah, we're happy. How are you, Jace?
Yeah, good, good. Feel the same way. I think, you know, we're ready just to continue cracking through the year and it's hard to believe how fast 2024 is disappearing as we go. But, you know, here we are and the numbers game continues to crack on as well. We're booming into those numbers, 171. It feels good as I keep rolling off the numbers as we approach 200. And, you know, I've got a couple of years of EPs under our belt. But, guys, I want to bring something to you because I got excited the other day when I logged onto Instagram and got the notification of a real that we created. It was the great man Marty V. It's gone off. Like people have absolutely got around it. And it's inspired another episode by me today that's around, you know, a billion-dollar problem or $50 billion problem, I should say. But what we might do is listen to what Marty had to say and then we'll roll into why I'm pretty pissed off again and fired up. What did you have to say, Marty? Let's play this clip now.
Well, I'm just pissed off with the Victorian debt. Levels. I just totally pissed off. It's, you know, we're at $55.2 billion in 2019. And yeah, I know COVID cost us $31 billion, but we're going to be at $247 billion in the next year and a half to 2 years. It's just out of control. I mean, and the number is we're going to be paying $40 million a day in interest on that debt. And I'm just putting two and two together and trying to work out how the hell do we get out of this as Victorians? Like we're going to be paying this off for generations. And I'm looking, and I know growth changes, but, you know, we're trying to bring inflation down. The growth rate's only looking to be about 1.5% at a maximum over the next 12, 18 months. And I just don't know how we're going to do it. I mean, you can't take more money off people that don't have it, which is what they're trying to do. And then you can't take more money off people that are making the upside because they're going to go and invest somewhere else. Wow, I tell you what, it's weird to get pissed off on being pissed off, but listening to myself got me angry.
Wow, yeah, I'm glad. Look, I actually really like listening to that back. So sometimes, you know, we make these eps, we get through it, we go, shit, we had a good recording sesh there and the content goes out. And fortunately, we get a lot of great feedback from our audience. But and then sometimes you just see something that just gets picked up and run with. So that led me, you know, Marty, you talked about how do we pay it back and where does the money come from to start?
That's my phone tone, by the way, yeah.
Oh, you hear it all the time in the office with Marty. No, it's a good. So how do we pay it back? And then, you know, got me thinking as to some of the behavior of the ATO as to what's happening. So when I said we've got a $50 billion problem, what's ended up happening is over the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you know, these the debts of business owners in, you know, small, medium, large have ramped up to approximately $52 billion in debt owing to the ATO. Made up of, you know, GST, pay as you go withholding, all the different taxes and whatnot. Now, before COVID back in 2019, that debt was $26 billion total across small and large business. So it's effectively doubled between 2019 and the start of 2024. That number was the end of December 2023. So you look at that and go, well, okay, you know, what's the ATO doing and how are we getting that money back into the government's pocket to help eliminate debt and spread that money out elsewhere? And it's only now recently that the ATO has come out swinging. They are absolutely going aggressive and going hard on debts. And I think, unfortunately, and look, this is me, just my opinion, I think, unfortunately, they go hard and they go really, really, you know, just off the charts against small business owners. Now, don't get me wrong, small business owners make up 65% of that debt balance, but they're often the easier ones for the ATO to target. Why go after the big ones that owe money when we can pick on the small guys that can't defend themselves? And ultimately, these small businesses are, you know, the biggest industries that we're talking about affected here are construction, hospitality, and retail. And of course, most of them were hospitality and retail were the hardest hit probably through COVID times of that. Now, what's ended up happening with the ATO coming out swinging for these small businesses is they're looking at their options going, well, now what do we do? If we can't afford to pay that back, what's going to happen? But the ATO approach is effectively pay us, go on a payment plan or shut down your business. So ATO's going really, really hard. I'll pause here for a second. Guys, you guys coming across many businesses doing it a bit tough with ATO debt? Are you seeing or hearing much of this out in the world?
Yes, but whether they think they're doing it tough is the question. And this is the, I think the issue that the government has created. It's people think that it's okay. So now, you know, you say doing it tough. And, you know, we've seen people that have used the ATO as a line of credit facility the last few years. And, you know, Marty's talked about this before with people now who need to repay it. So you say doing it tough, but we see people, for whatever reason, not seem to be too worried about it. So, you know, I feel like the ATO has created the issue. We know why, because of the pandemic. But, yeah, damn right they're doing it tough, because you can't get those debts back on a repayment plan in 1 to 2 years without having a significant impact on the viability of your business and cash flow.
I think to add to that, back in the day, probably going back about 15, even 20 years ago, people that had tax debt in small business, it was a real problem and seen as a, you know, almost like a character flaw as a business owner. So, and things have changed dramatically in regards to obviously the ability to not pay back debt as aggressively. But the other thing is, like what you're saying, is that small business owners at the moment, I read some stats that only 42% of businesses are actually making, small businesses are making profit. Mm-hmm. So again, now you're coming with this hard line of saying, pay the tax debt back off or payment plan or shut your business down. And I'm going, this is the time when the support's needed, you know, so people can transition out. And yes, people have done the wrong things in regards to loading up the tax debt. It's very rare now. Like, I'm seeing 1 in 2 has tax debt, which is, it's almost criminal that can happen. And they're going, but now when people are in trouble, that they've allowed this to happen, like Nick said, it's basically, now we're going to hit them hard when there's not enough profitability out there in the businesses to even be able to pay that back. So now you're putting people under more pressure from your own stupid practices.
Yeah.
It's just so dumb.
So that's exactly right, Marty. I think it was the behavior over the last 5 years and beyond. I mean, it's no accident that we're at $26 billion in debt 5 years ago as well, because of the practices that were, oh, well, you owe six figures, chuck it on a payment plan, just make sure you can pay all your future obligations and just pay, you know, $10,000 a month for 12 months and we'll get our $120,000. But then the next BAS falls due. And you go, oh shit, actually, let's smush that one in with the last one, and it becomes $150,000 of debt. So we do $15,000 a month for 10 months. And then the next one falls due. And this problem continues to cycle through. But in the past, the ATO were kind of pretty happy just to engage a new payment plan. But it's getting harder and harder and harder to the amount of info we have to give the ATO in revenue, expenses, balance sheet position, personal drawings, all these things now mean that simply calling the ATO or clicking a few buttons to set up a payment plan becomes a much more difficult task. And with the ATO coming down really hard with the debt collection hammer, you know, garnishee notices, director penalty notices, bank accounts being, you know, frozen, there's all these different new measures or the measures that the ATO have had in the past but never used. So when you think about going from $26 billion to $52 billion and the ATO just sat back on their hands going, well, it's just, you know, let's just ride it out. You know, we don't want to cause too much stress on the economy or small business or the business landscape. But now effectively what's being forced is all of these debt collection measures the ATO are doing are forcing people's hands. So one of the messages that I wanted to kind of get across in this little combo with you guys is that rather than sitting on your hands as a business owner and you've ramped up some ATO debt and let's say you're in the 42% that isn't necessarily making a great profit at the moment, don't bury your head in the sands. Don't sit on your hands and not take action. Now's the time to talk to your accountant and then get an introduction to a, you know, an insolvency specialist who can do what's called a small business restructure. So, you know, this is something that I think unfortunately is still a very underutilized tool across the accounting and business space. But if ultimately to explain to you guys, I think we've talked about it a few times before, but a small business restructure is a basically like a baby version of a liquidation event or a voluntary administration, but it's not as scary or nasty as the full beauty of one of those things where you might shut down a business and the whole thing disappears. Now, with a small business restructure, you remain the director of your company. Whereas if you liquidate or go into voluntary administration, somebody else becomes the director of your company and takes it over and you've got no control over what happens. So you remain the director. You need to have less than $1 million of liabilities, paid out all your super, and be able to trade and show that you can pay off on a payment plan. But what ends up happening is you negotiate through the insolvency specialist that you get to pay cents on the dollar to your creditors. Now, 9 times out of 10, a lot of these ones that are going through at the moment, the ATO is the biggest creditor. So if you imagine that you owed, you know, your business has done it tough and you need a reset. Now, this is the thing where I say, don't sit back and just think that it's going to get better. If you need, you know, a plan to get on top of your ATO debt to be able to trade for to become profitable. The example here might be you've run yourself up to a $200,000 debt with the ATO. You engage a small business restructure specialist, and they might be able to go to the ATO and say, hey, look, we've run the numbers, done a cash flow forecast, and worked closely with this small business owner, and they can afford to give you 20 cents to the dollar. And they're going to do that on a payment plan of $4,000 a month for 10 months. So what's going to happen is instead of, you may have owed the ATO 200 grand, but through this small business restructure, you propose that you'll pay $40,000 at an affordable $4,000 a month over 10 months. Now, if the plan's all worded correctly and done properly, and the ATO looks at your business, goes, you know what? This person's lodged their things on time regularly. They've paid their employees super. You have to be running a good, like you have to be a good business owner who's done the right thing. You know, you can't be one of these people that we see in the news every couple of weeks with a liquidation event and there's all the overdue debts and overdue super. Let's just say you're a genuinely good person who's run a good business, who's just done it tough for a couple of years. The ATO would turn around and say, you know what? Done. We'll accept it. We'll accept 20 cents to the dollar to give your business a chance to keep employing people, keep paying its bills, and have a chance at survival moving forward on the other side of what's been a pretty turbulent couple of years. Now, I sit back and go, for all, like, we've done quite a few with our clients. We're ramping up the numbers that we do, and even not just our existing clients, the ones that have been referred to us through friends and family because they wanted to have a crack at, you know, doing this and their accountants weren't familiar with it or confident with it. And we have had epic success with so many business owners to be able to get them on the other side of a small business restructure where they actually feel like they've got a chance at survival and not just survive, to thrive on the other side of it where they're better organized, they know how to read their P&L and balance sheets better, they know how to structure their business moving forward to charge the appropriate price with the appropriate margins. And, you know, I think it's a fantastic thing for the small business owners out there, but they need to know about it. And this is the other thing where we sit back and go, okay, if we're at $52 billion of debt and $34 billion of that is small business debts, why isn't there more done to educate and encourage small business owners to get ahead of it rather than sitting back and waiting for the ATO to come after them?
Yeah, well, I don't know the answer, to be honest. whose responsibility is it, you know? And this is the thing, I think we all know that the ATO and the government in general is severely under-resourced. Yeah. And it doesn't matter if you're talking about tax or if you're talking about compliance or, you know, things like the Royal Commission. You know, they go where they think they can get a win and they put all the resources into those areas. And at the moment, that area is getting some of this tax debt back in. So, yeah, it's madness that they don't put some resource into educating and training. But to put it back to you, is that the accounting profession's responsibility? Maybe. Maybe that's what the ATO think. This is what I'm thinking. Yep. They might say it's not our responsibility. Accountants should be educating people on that. But at the same time, people can open an ABN by themselves if they like without getting an accountant involved. So that is true, isn't it? You can do it online if you really want to. So, yeah, it's a resources thing. But, yeah, there should be, you know, you opening an ABN, yes, okay, well, what do you understand about a BAS statement? What do you understand about GST? You know, where's the, you know, where's Marty's employee checklist or hiring checklist to make sure someone's fit enough to even run an ABN?
I was thinking exactly the same thing. I think it's part, responsibility on the business owner. And I think, you know, people are generally good at running their business but have no idea about running their cash flows. Like, if for every dollar you make, how much of that dollar do you keep? You know, that it's basic maths, but you need to know that with debt levels, tax debt. And I think, like with Jace, like I know I've put a client onto Jace recently, it's changed his business around because he had a great business. It was just, you know, money was going into certain areas, buying stock and, you know, in areas where he just didn't have the cash. And you go, and it just wasn't set up well because he's great at running his business, but not necessarily. Most business owners fall over in regards to the cash flow management side. It's always a working capital issue, particularly in, you know, in manufacturing and people buying stock and everything. Always. And they don't get the education piece on that, or it's not a strength. And this is where you utilize, you know, someone like Jace or Future Advisory to come in and be a part of your business and a vital cog in your business in order to build a thriving business and know exactly where your money's going and how to place it effectively within balance sheets and profit and loss and what's hitting the account. It is, I think in this day and age, it is absolutely paramount that you have someone like Jace, you know, looking after your working capital affairs and understanding it, because this is where people have fallen over for generations on this, and usually the only way they're either very highly successful at it and they do well, or they just have so high margins that it doesn't matter. You know, it's like how many times do you see people making profit, 700 grand in profit, yet they've got 100 grand cash in the bank, or 7 million in profit and, you know, 1 million in cash in the bank because they've had to buy stock or they're buying buildings or they've got, you know, all sorts of things. It is such a common thing. So don't feel bad about it. It's like it's just the norm. And as business owners, we've got to get better at that. But we need people in our corner that can help us with that sort of stuff.
I think there has to be some level of support, though, from the ATO or the government. Definitely. Because the reality is people don't go into business because they want to be a business person. People generally fall into business because they have a particular skill set that means that they can create revenue and a life. So unfortunately, to get that revenue, you need to understand the business side. So, you know, we've talked about the simplifying the tax system. There's so many things that could be done to make it easier. It is so difficult. So there should be checkpoints that if people are, you know, opening up ABNs because they're a good salesperson in it or they have a skill set, what checkpoints are being done along the way? Maybe the first BAS. What did the first BAS look like? Who's doing that? Well, hang on, there's a problem here. We need to understand this versus what they let happen, which is let it go for 1 to 2 years and then try and ruin a business. Whereas I think if most people that had that skill set, if they understood how to manage cash flow, they probably would have done it.
But that's the thing, Nick. Like you go, how are the ATO being helpful up until this point with this stuff? Like as business owners, you know, as soon as the rubber hits the ground, all of a sudden they want to call in the debt at the most vulnerable time of a business owner's life. And I just go, business owners have to take responsibility because they will get screwed one way or another on this. And I have no hesitation in being accountable for this as a business owner, because what have they done? What have they done except put pressure on and then loosen the boundaries? They're not educating business owners. They're getting their lick, or they put people into insolvency. You know, it's just rubbish. We have to do it as business owners, and we've got to get support or education to be able to do it. Otherwise, we're at the mercy of these people, and we get sucked in order to take advantage of when they open the doors, in order to take any advantage we can. So yeah, we're still walking through those doors, right? When they say, oh, don't worry about paying your tax back until we sort this out and everyone gets on their feet. And then, yeah, it crashes and burns. And I just think, I think we've got to do a lot of education as business owners. And I think, you know, people like Jace is, you know, and people like advisors, you know, business advisors out there, There's a great niche out there for people that want to help business owners. I've seen them crash and burn for years on end because of this.
That proactive financial management, right? Like having a good advisor, talking to the right people before it gets out of hand. You know, that business owner 101 is, you know, the GST, the tax on wages and the superannuation and tax on profit. It's all money that's not yours. So you should never spend it, you know, unless you want to get yourself into trouble. So it's how to put that money aside, how to make sure you're not spending money that's not yours, you know, that, so that, you know, that real simple
stuff. Not
your
money.
Correct. But then it's like, okay, let's look at that $52 billion in debt. Imagine when it was at $26 billion, the ATO did a mail out to all those people with debt to the ATO and said, hey, we're concerned about your debt level. We recommend you go and speak to an advisor, you know, and maybe with, you know, could they recommend an advisor in the area? Maybe not, but just go and see an advisor, search for your local accountant and book an appointment. Even if that, like, I don't know the cost of a mail out or an email if they've got the business owner's email address on file, but a bit of proactive touch to say, we think that you need some proactive financial management to help you get on top of your debt. Go and speak to your accountant if you've got one. If not, do a local search and book an appointment. Something that simple, right? It doesn't seem that far-fetched to make that a reality. And maybe when we're at $26 billion of debt, if that was one of the processes the ATO rolled out, maybe we wouldn't be at $52 billion right now, and there'd be a few more people that maybe were a bit better with their money management over that journey. And maybe not. That's just an idea from my side. But
and maybe I don't know whether the government can, or it's the ATO or whoever it is, but can provide, you know, it might be courses on financial management, you know, at the interim stage. Congratulations, you started a business. Here's a course. It's, yeah, it doesn't, you know, have to be costly, right?
You say that, Marty. Example, a couple of years ago, I can't remember exactly, it probably was before COVID, but a young lady out in Narre Warren or out our way with the one our office over there, she received a business grant of $20,000, but the only way that money cleared to her was she had to spend it on, you know, business education, business resources, mentoring, coaching, knowledge to help her start her business. She, call it 5 years on, she's running one of the most successful businesses I've seen in her industry. And the first, and it's not, you know, blowing wind up our bums, but step one was a cash flow forecast, budget to variance, understanding her P&L and balance sheet, setting up zero and giving her tools to map out how she was going to make money in her business. First thing that happened. Now, again, if there was more business grants where the business owners who set up a business were like they had to spend the money on going and get business education on how to run a business or how to set up for financial success, maybe, again, we'd be in a much better position as an economy and as a country. So I think, you know, the underlying message here beyond, you know, proactive financial management and, you know, dealing with the ATO is take action. Like don't sit back and go, oh, well, it's too late for me. I've got ATO debt. Or if you start to kind of see debt to the ATO build up, there are options out there, you know, and you don't have to change accountants. You know, if you're with someone else and you listen to the numbers game, go and have the conversation. Ask how to get on top of your ATO debt. You be proactive. If your accountant's not being proactive, you go and do it. And if you are looking for someone to have a chat to, you can talk to Nick, Marty, and I at any time. Obviously, ATO stuff's more specifically me, but, you know, we're here for you guys and, you know, we want to be able to help. That's why we do this show.
Again, how much traction Nick's getting on the financial wellbeing seminars, even in companies, to support their employees. I just go, people have a real thirst for their financial future and understanding dynamics, and business owners are the same. And I think, again, look, people using credit cards and all sorts of things at 18%, trying to get their business up and running. And we've all been there, right? And we all find a way through, but maybe there's a better way we could start, you know, and maybe that is financial support, even if it's light financial support at the front end to educate and then ultimately dominate. Because running a business is one of the greatest things that you can be a part of when it's done well, but it's also one of the most stressful things if things aren't going your way. So you have to have that resilience regardless. But I think we can do a lot more in the space, and I just feel like the ATO are shutting the doors just when they, you know, when people are most vulnerable, and it's a dangerous game. Dangerous game.
Last little tip from me though, lodge everything on time. Like if you are falling behind, don't feel like, oh well, I'm already behind, I'll lodge my BAS late, or, you know, I can't pay super right now, oh well, I won't lodge it. Like, lodge things on time. You want to be seen as being proactive with the ATO. That, you know, if you are trying to do your best, the ATO will work with you if you're trying your best and doing the right thing. It's the ones that kind of go off the radar that the ATO just goes, no mercy, we're going hard. So appreciate you listening. Thank you for joining us. If you got a mate who you think may need our help, send them our way. We love bringing on new family members to the Numbers Game crew. But until next time,
take responsibility. It's your financial future. Make sure it's a good one. Talk to Jace, Nick, or myself. Game over.